Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The man himself, the one, the only, Brady Quinn.
Are you one of those guys that has traditions that you like to uphold, or do you, as you get older, go, why do we do this? Like, why do we have this tradition? I don't understand it, or I don't like it. I'd like to just do something different. Like, what type of guy are you?
It just depends. If there are certain family
that was
things.
That's pretty noncommittal.
Well, no, but because like if it's like a family tradition, like a perfect example, we never opened up gifts. Like Christmas Eve into Christmas morning, there's some people that open them up at midnight on Christmas Eve. We never did that. And so my wife's family does that, and I refuse to be a part of it. Because I feel like it's tradition for us. We do it on the morning of. Like, you wait your turn, all right? First of all, it's not even your birthday for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
by the way, if I didn't tell you today, happy birthday.
Yeah, but thank you. I appreciate it. Happy birthday to you and yours as well, too, Brady Quinn. But I just there are certain traditions that you know I like to uphold, and then there's other ones I'm like, whatever. Like you know, stuff changes. You know, you move.
Okay.
On.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this next subject we're going to talk about is more similar to family traditions than I would say, because I do think there's a lot of family traditions that could be broken because of what could be on the horizon in college football.
Yeah. So Texas A&M, you know, fun little story here. Texas A&M, you know, a few years ago now, decided, hey, you know what? We want our own path here. We want our own lane. We're going to go join the SEC. We're going to be the only Texas team in the SEC. What does everybody think about that, huh? And then 2021 came around, and Texas and Oklahoma were like, hold our moonshine. Let's go ahead and let's get into the discussion here, Brady Quinn, where now it appears to be a foregone conclusion. Oklahoma and Texas appear to be headed towards the SEC. This started out as, you know, a little bit of one of those Bic lighters, you know, a little bit of a flame, then to turn into a stove fire, then it turned into a forest fire, and now we have an inferno brewing, and it seems like the SEC is going to get a little bit more crowded. Oklahoma and Texas appear to be on their way to join up in what will be an absolute super conference in the world of college football. Bye-bye to your traditions.
Bye-bye to what you used to do with your grandpa, your grandma, your family. You meet out, tailgate, and all that good stuff. That looks like it's just it's a sunken ship. You know, it's going down. Now, look, we're supposed to find out more information today about what's going to happen between Oklahoma and Texas. I'm hearing, or I've heard, there's some last-ditch efforts from the Big 12, and I'll get into that in a moment. But I think the first question you have to ask yourself is why. And it is interesting you brought up Texas A&M. Because when Texas A&M left, and if my recollection is correct, their final year in the Big 12 was 2011. And so 2012 was when they started playing in the SEC. You represent the only team in the state of Texas that represents the SEC. And the reason why they did that was twofold. I don't think it was just about money or the revenue share from the TV revenue, which the SEC generates the most. Of all the Power 5 conferences, it's the SEC, then Big 10. That's the pecking order. So there's a part of it that obviously played a role with them jumping in for more revenue. However, I also think it was about recruiting. How could you differentiate yourself from what was the University of Texas, which when the University of Texas is rolling a la Vince Young, Mac Brown, 2005, they could get anyone in the state of Texas they want, okay? Yeah. The Longhorns, the money they're generating, the branding, everything else, especially nowadays with name, image, and likeness. But the truth of the matter is Texas A&M saw the opportunity, they took it, and they've benefited from it. Now, it hasn't equated into national championships, but it has from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah.
If you were to average the last five recruiting classes between Texas A&M and the University of Texas, A&M has edged them out. On average, they've had better recruiting classes and have been able to take away some of that talent. And I think more often than not, last year, case in point, Texas A&M has been at least on the cusp of getting into the college football playoff, where Texas can't even win the Big 12. And so this really begs the question, why? Why would Texas and Oklahoma, either of them, given that Texas has struggled to compete in the Big 12, how in the hell are they going to compete in the SEC? And for Oklahoma, a team that's really dominated the Big 12, a team that's essentially got a free pass, a free ticket, when we expand to a 12-team playoff, would almost assuredly have a bye because they would be one of the conference champions most assuredly in the Big 12, because Lincoln Riley and them have dominated ever since he's taken over as head coach. So if that's the case, why? Why move? Why now? The only thing I can really assume from all of this is last year made a lot of, I think, teams look in the mirror. Most universities ran at a deficit, and they said to themselves, we need to look out for ourselves. We need to go into self-preservation mode. We can't continue to lift up all these other schools that aren't generating any profit and stay in a conference where we don't know that we're being appreciated the way we should be, where even the Big 12 would admit Texas and Oklahoma, they generate 50% of the revenue for the entire conference.
Easy.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And so what's happened now is this. The SEC saw an opportunity. They came in and they said, well, look, if we can make as many changes as we did in 1 year's time due to COVID, we can make a lot of changes, whether it's NIL or even how we look at the structure of all this. We're talking about a 12-team playoff. Well, if we're talking about a 12-team playoff, why don't we talk about maybe a 16-team conference, maybe a 20-team conference? Why don't we talk about blowing this whole thing up to make it bigger and better than it's ever been before? Let's go after the biggest brands in college football. And obviously, they've made a compelling pitch to Texas and Oklahoma. And this didn't happen overnight. It's been months in the making. And so if you're looking for the pluses for both Texas and Oklahoma, it's about money like it always is, folks. It's about the money that's generated from the TV contracts. It's about the way the SEC handled COVID. They were the conference that first decided to go out and play. And look, I know the Big 12 did as well. They played their conference schedule, their conference games. You know, they were very upfront about it. But as far as the revenue generated, they really can't compare in that regard. And so if name, image, and likeness becomes such a big deal in recruiting, and if that's the edge you're looking for, then obviously you want to be in the SEC where you feel like you can entice more players if they want to play in that conference. And then the last thing I'll just say is we haven't talked about these athletes maybe getting a piece of the TV revenue. If they can get a piece of the TV revenue, wouldn't you want to go where the TV revenue is the biggest? I mean, that's a huge recruiting pitch.
Yeah, I think that point right there is probably the least discussed, but it'll be the most interesting, whether or not these guys are going to get a cut of the TV revenue. And the SEC, look, it's the biggest show in college football. People can get annoyed by it. They can get, you know, irritated by it. But football just means more in that conference than it does in other conferences. It just does. I remember when we were talking about, I was doing a show with Bucky Brooks here on Saturdays on Fox Sports Radio, and when this was in the middle of the pandemic, and they were trying to figure out, oh my God, are we going to have a college football season? And he just said, he's like, look, man, he's all, I'm from the South. I can assure you the SEC is going to have a season, and there's going to be fans at those games.
Oh, yeah.
People thought he was nuts, and they did. There was no wavering. There was no. We are having a season, and we're going to have fans there. If these guys can get a cut of that TV revenue, like, it makes all the sense in the world. And to your point on Texas, man, like, let's call it what it is. Just in the state of Texas, just think about all the teams that have been closer to a national title than Texas has. TCU was closer to a national title than Texas
and,
was.
And Baylor, for that matter.
Texas A&M.
If not for the Big 12 botching, determining who their conference champion was, they would have had one of Baylor or TCU in probably the first year.
Yeah, so like Texas has been the fourth best team in state as far as from a national relevancy standpoint over the past several years in college football. And I just, here's my question on the timing, though, when it comes to Texas. if name, image, and likeness is now here, and you're Texas, wouldn't it be easier to now sell your brand and put up and put together a better season in the Big 12 than it would be in the SEC? Because if they're this version of Texas in the Big 12, where the hell do they rank in the SEC? I happen to deal with Murderers Row.
That's the hard thing, and you have to wonder if Steve Sarkisian, which reportedly he was aware of this being a potential or this being a possibility in taking this job. Now, granted, he just came from Alabama. He just was the offensive coordinator, so he understands the what's required from a recruiting standpoint. He understands what he's going up against week to week. So I don't think that he's fearful at all of it. How they stack up, that's the biggest question, because even though A&M has recruited at a better clip of late than Texas has, it's not like Texas has been that far behind. Yeah. The issue with Texas has been the lack of development. The lack of development, and I would say the lack of a quarterback that could ultimately give them truly a chance that's lethal from the pocket, can also hurt you with his legs. Sam Ellinger could hurt you with his legs. He wasn't as prolific of a passer from the pocket as I think other quarterbacks have been, and they haven't had someone like that since Colt McCoy. So that's if you look at the blue blood programs that have struggled, the Texas, the Michigan, etc., they haven't had a quarterback that's been drafted somewhere in the top couple rounds that you could say, no, that's a dude. I mean, again, I'm not taking away from what Sam Ellinger did during his time at Texas. He was a really good college quarterback. He's going to have a chance in the NFL. But as far as his skill set compared to, what you saw from VY, who was a first-round pick, very different, right? I mean, VY not only could throw effectively enough in the pocket, but was maybe one of the better rushing quarterbacks in college football history. So, yeah. Again, very, very different in that regard. But I want to get back to just when you look at the decision and how this leaks out. If you're Texas and Oklahoma, is this a done deal? I don't know. We're probably going to find out later on today. But what I can tell you is you want it to leak out because if they have any desire to stay in the Big 12, any desire whatsoever, this is what they push for now. And they say, we don't believe we should get the same amount of revenue as Kansas. Yeah, they're a great basketball school, but they don't do anything in football. And it's a disaster right now at that school in football. And we know that football is the one sport that generates profit or generates more revenue than any other sport in most cases across college sports. So if that's the case, we want a bigger piece of the pie. We're Oklahoma, we're Texas, we're your biggest brands. We bring in 50% of the overall revenue in the Big 12. We want our take. We're going to split up that revenue, and you guys can take the other 50% between the eight of you, and you guys can divide that up. And you might say, well, this is only going to create a bigger gap, but the reality is there's already a humongous gap as we sit here right now. And so that could be their pitch to them. Here's the problem with that. If you're Bob Bowlesby, if you're the commissioner of the Big 12, you've got every other conference commissioner looking at you and going, oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because if once you do that, then the USC's and Oregon's, they're going to do the same thing in the Pac-12. You've got Ohio State who can easily do it. Clemson's going to do it in the ACC. Yeah. You've got all those other schools that are going to start trying to do that. And you're only setting up for a long divorce and a long breakup. You're only setting up for all those schools eventually getting tired, even with that revenue split, getting tired of carrying everyone else, and they're just all going to join the SEC or some super conference that is kind of in the works as we speak right now. That's why reportedly the SEC reached out to Ohio State, to Michigan, to Clemson, some of the other bigger schools across college sports. I didn't notice – I don't think they reached out to any Pac-12 teams, which was kind of odd.
But. Yeah. what do you think that was for?
Not sure what's going on there. But here's what the SEC did. The SEC watched how all these other Power 5 conferences handled COVID. And they watched how they responded. They said, I smell blood in the water. And we're going to go after every one of those big brands, and we believe in football. It's culturally what we're all about. We generate the most revenue. It means more. And we're going to go after them. We're going to pluck the biggest brands, or we're going to try to create a big conference, almost like what you see over in European soccer. Like, that's what they're essentially behind the scenes attempting to do while they see this opportunity in time.
Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up next here, we are going to get into a discussion in the world of football. A very uncomfortable discussion, but is it actually as bad as many people are making it out in the media? We will get into all of that for you. It's next here. Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Quote of the year from a modern-day living legend in the world of football. So that'll be coming up later on in the hour here on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah. One of the all-time greatest quotes. This isn't hyperbole. I'm not. It's not an overstatement. This is one of the all-time greatest quotes. And let me just challenge all our listeners out there. This guy, he's willing to give up more than you, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know many people that would sacrifice the way this guy has, okay? He's whatever you love, whatever you think you care about, he's willing to give it up more than you are.
Damn,
all right?
That's a hell of a tease. Look at you.
Oh, I'm just saying.
Mr. Radio Professional now all of a sudden. I mean, you go to
I learned from the best. I learned from the biggest tees in the business.
That's right. Yeah, you better believe it. That's right. That Rob Stone is a hell of a co-host, huh? All right, Brady Quinn, have a little love for Big Noon Kickoff, man, which, by the way, when do you guys get it going for Big Noon Kickoff? When's the official start date?
So here's the truth of the matter. Next week, I've got to take off some time. I'm sorry, but I do have obligations to Big Noon Kickoff. I'll be with Rob and the boys and Coach Stoops now, who's replacing Coach Meyer. We get ready to go out for our retreat for all the stuff with college football, NFL coverage for Fox next Monday and Tuesday. So I will miss radio for those obligations. And then we've actually got a shoot. A shoot in the state of California, if God willing, Gavin Newsom will allow us due to COVID and those restrictions. So God willing, we will then have a shoot we've got to do for Wednesday. I don't know what exactly it's for, but yeah, then I'll hopefully be back on Friday as I'll be traveling on a red eye back. I think I'll miss a portion of the show traveling back for a red eye. So I'll only be able to work one day next week. But basically next week, it really starts to get going for us.
God, I'm so excited, man. I am so excited for college football. And you know what I do like? Here's the subtle little change that they've made in college football that I really do appreciate. It used to be back in the day where they would refer to it as a week zero. They would call it, it's week zero. And it would be, you know, there'd be probably like seven or eight games. Usually my Hawaii Rainbow Warriors were one of the games that were being played in this quote unquote week zero. They're not doing that anymore. No, they're not doing it. They're not calling it week zero. They're calling it week one. All right. We are calling it week one in the world of college football. And so that August 28th, which is just a little over a month away, that Saturday, you got a slate of games. All right. You do have Nebraska, Illinois, which is the game that's going to be featured on Fox. You've got Hawaii at UCLA. You got the San Jose States of the world. Eddie Garcia's Fresno State Bulldogs are going to be playing. I at least appreciate that we're not dismissing that opening week because all the quote unquote blue bloods aren't part of the process. At least we're giving some love to those other schools that I think deserve it. So how about that?
I think last year highlighted that if ever before, right? I mean, you had other conferences, you know, non-Power 5 conferences playing early and they kind of stole the spotlight. Like Liberty, for example, who had a phenomenal season, Coastal Carolina, like those teams started to sweep up some of the accolades, some of the exposure, and now you've got a quarterback in Malik Willis who may be one of the best in college football, who may have literally, because of COVID and because they decided to play and the way he played, he might be a first-round pick. I'm telling you right now, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. He has all the tools necessary to play at the next level.
Coming up in 15 minutes from now, it is the quote of the year in the NFL. You will not find a better one, and we will have that for you here 15 minutes from now on FSR. So, vaccine talk in the National Football League. My God, man. I am so worn out by COVID, vaccine, all of this. Like, I am. But the fact of the matter is, it's part of the conversation because it's been made part of the conversation over the weekend. You've got Bruce Arians and the report that came out that players that aren't vaccinated who are seen not wearing a mask inside facilities are going to get fined $14,000. Bruce Arians was very adamant right there on the spot. They're getting fined $14,000. All of that happening as we have the discussion here about vaccines in the National Football League and sort of the outrage, because it feels like it's calmed down a little bit over the weekend, but man, last week for about a 24-hour period, it was a hot button issue.
Well, it's still a hot button issue, even though I think one of the reasons why it became such a big story last week was teams were starting to report, and I think teams and the media and obviously the NFL, they wanted to get it out there, so a lot of these players who are unvaccinated will make sure they understand the repercussions for not following the protocols. Now, a lot of this, what's in this year, was in last year's CBA. When they decided to come back and play, they you know, restructured the CBA to include a lot of these same measures that are being taken for player and staff safety. They were in there last year. It's just the difference was we didn't have a vaccine last year in the season. So now that we do, and as they're trying to incentivize players to get the vaccine, you know, they're pointing out, like, hey, you can be fined $14,000 if you're not vaccinated and you're not wearing your mask and you're not following the proper protocols. You know, they're now highlighting it as a deterrent or as an incentive to go get the vaccine, even though at this point in time, you know, unless you get the Johnson & Johnson, you know, you it's still going to take some time before you could actually be able to be open to the same benefits as vaccinated players. But I digress. Here's the reason why there's such a push, all right? Here's why there's such a push. Because there's going to be people out there who tell you it's about money and all this stuff. It's not about money. It's not. It's not about money, because if it was about money, okay, we went through last year a season with COVID with no vaccines. Did we miss any games, Jonas? I'm trying to think off the back of my head.
How many double Monday Night Football, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah. I mean, so here's the reality, folks. We're not missing games. This is all propaganda. It's all BS, because the NFL wants this to go away. They want COVID to go away. And the only way you can make it go away is if you essentially put forth protocols or measures that where if you have almost everyone vaccinated, okay, you're not testing as often.
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell anyone. They're not going to test as often for the vaccinated players, okay? What does that mean? Well, if you don't test as often, it's not like guys are walking in going, I don't know, I think I got COVID today. Can I get a test? Guys, forever have walked in with colds, with flus, and they've still practiced and they still played because they wanted to. They love the game, or they know they're getting paid and it's part of their livelihood. And so forever, players have played with a sniffle, sick, whatever the case may be. But because of COVID now, where the 80% of the cases were asymptomatic, they didn't even know they had it. We now are in a world where we were testing all the time. So of course, we were going to get some positive tests for some people who didn't even realize they had it. I mean, John Rahm up 6 strokes, for example, in the PGA, who's vaccinated, had it, kicking everyone's butt on that tour, and then he has to go sit out the final day. And so the truth of the matter is the NFL, they want as many players to be vaccinated as possible so they don't test as often. And if they don't test as often, it's not a story, because they don't have to talk about a positive test. And then on top of that, if there is a positive test, you know what you can do if you're a vaccinated player? You don't have to sit out. The contact tracing protocols that are in place for a non-vaccinated player are drastically different than a vaccinated player. And so last year, one of the issues was not that we had a ton of positive tests. The other issue was contact tracing.
Yeah.
And so when you had all these players who were sitting around a guy who did test positive, then they were out too. And so those are the two reasons why. It's not about money. Again, it's about the NFL wanting this to go away. Because last year with the testing protocols, every week it was a storyline. This year, if everyone's vaccinated, it's not a storyline. Not as many guys can be tested as often. Not as many positive tests in general. And then even if they are, you're not going to see this huge number of players having to miss a game or having to move a game because of contact tracing, because the majority of them are vaccinated. That's what this is about. That's what I hate about this whole conversation is, and even though we took the time to talk about it, it's to educate people on the fact of what's actually taking place and why the NFL is pushing for a vaccine so hard. There's obviously other health and safety things, too, that benefit it, but these guys aren't at risk anyways. So let's be real about what this is about. They want this whole COVID news and storyline in the NFL to go away.
Yeah, and to your point on the, you know, propaganda portion of this, that was my biggest takeaway. When everybody was freaking out last week and they were saying, "Oh my God, they're gonna forfeit games. Teams are gonna so basically if you're not vaccinated, you're gonna cost your team a Super Bowl. You're gonna cost your team like you're being." Dude, that is the last ditch move for the NFL. They will go above and beyond to make sure they don't have to forfeit games. Like, it's a disaster. A year ago, we played double Monday night. Like, you remember the Patriots Chiefs game? It was played at like 2. I remember it was 2:30 in the afternoon in Southern California out here, and they were playing Patriots Chiefs. You remember that was because Cam Newton got COVID, and so they rolled out Brian Hoyer and Jared Stidham, and they were playing that game. They played the Wednesday game. Steelers Washington was a win. The NFL is going to figure out a way to get these games in. They're not forfeiting games. And when people were freaking out about it, I just said, hold on. That is last. They will go as far as they possibly can. That's the last thing they want to do. They're not going to forfeit games. And when you point out the number of players that are getting vaccinated, you notice they're not telling you 100%. You notice the big number everybody's thrown out is 85%.
85%. That's the threshold every team organization needs to get to.
Yes. So they're telling you, we understand some guys are not going to get vaccinated. It just is what it is. Whether it's Cole Beasley, whether it's Jalen Ramsey, DeAndre Hopkins, whoever it is. And furthermore, I don't care who's vaccinated and who's not vaccinated. It's not my business. I couldn't care less.
It doesn't matter whether you're a player and you've decided to get it or not. I know it does, to some people out there, but this is an individual choice. And so we're not talking about it from that perspective. We're talking about the reasoning behind the NFL making such a push. As much as it's about the safety of the players, coaches, and all involved, let's be real about this. Let's be real for a second. You have stadiums that are going to be at full capacity, and there's no requirement for those individuals to be vaccinated. Do they have to wear masks? Sure. Social distance? No. Not if they're at full capacity. So let's not be blinded by what the initiative is here. The NFL wants this to go away. They want it to go away, and the best chance they have of doing that is having as many players vaccinated as possible, as many teams at the 85% threshold that Jonas, you mentioned a few minutes ago, have as many players at that 85% threshold as possible. And then once you do that, then it's a non-story. Contact tracing, not as big of an issue. Positive test, not as big of an issue. You're playing ball, we're moving forward, and we can forget about all of it. Very much like we did at times last year. It was the media that was obsessed with it and wanting to make us into this scare tactic every single week that there was going to be a game canceled. Tell me this much, Jonas. Is it safer to play right now in the NFL, given that we've got guys vaccinated and probably better treatments for those who have chosen not to get vaccinated?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. And okay. Yes. Yeah. It's look, the whole, when the stuff comes out, there's immediate panic. I think a lot, whether DeAndre Hopkins, who came out and was like, they're making me question what, and I think even he realized, all right, cool down, read the whole thing all the way through, and then you realize, look, they're not telling you, the NFL isn't telling you, you have to get vaccinated. They're just saying, we're going to make it difficult on guys that don't get vaccinated, but the idea that they're going to cancel games, I just thought was the biggest BS. I don't think it's happening. I would be willing to bet a large sum of money not one game gets canceled in the NFL this season. A large sum of money on that.
Is that a bet? Is that a line? Can we go find that somewhere?
Yeah, I'm sure we can. Absolutely.
I would put everything own that there's not going to be a game canceled, at least not due to COVID. Now, you could have one canceled due to especially, you know, a hurricane, something like that, depending on where that game is being played. But as far as due to COVID, not one game will be canceled.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll blame COVID for that as well, too. All right, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, this is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, it is the quote of the year in the world of sports. In fact, you know what? I'm not even going to say just the world of football. It's the world of sports, the quote of the year, and we'll have that for you next here. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
15 minutes from now here on FSR, we have got ourselves a new detail on a very, very big discussion in the NFL. We've got a new detail and what could be a massive move in the National Football League very, very soon. That coming up here in about 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. So lost in the Tim Tebow, Trevor Lawrence discussion in Jacksonville, where Trevor Lawrence is now the face of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Urban Meyer, also part of that discussion. Your former co-host on Big Noon Kickoff, who's now the head coach there. You've also got Tim Tebow trying to make the roster as a tight end. Lost in all of that is maybe our favorite story of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that is none other than Gardner Minshew, who is still on the roster, still there at quarterback, and he was on with Chris Long, the podcast in which you know, Chris Long has the Greenlight podcast, and Gardner Minshew had the following money quote, and I'm calling it the quote of the year thus far. In preparation for the quarterback competition, I haven't taken an S in weeks. Number two isn't an option for me. So that is a commitment to your craft, Brady Quinn. That is fully committed. He hasn't apparently taken a dump in weeks because number two is not on the menu. So there's that.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, man.
I love Gardner Minshew, man.
He's got some all-timers. And here's the thing. Like, in all seriousness about his chances of making the roster, they need him. He's got NFL experience as, you know, as a starter. If Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, if there is any other issue where Lawrence couldn't play, you can bring Minshew in. I think with the way they've continued to build the roster now since Urban Meyer's taken over, he'd do a good job. He's not going to be the caliber of quarterback that Trevor is, but he's a better option. And look, he's a better option than Tebow, okay? Because here's what happens if you try to go the whole route of, well, let's trade Minshew. We don't want him to be our backup. You know, we'll get some value back for him. Let's have Tebow be the backup in emergency situations. Look, the entire offense changes, okay? He can't throw the football anywhere close to Lawrence or Gardner Minshew. The whole idea that he was brought on to be a tight end, that goes to the wayside. And so the whole reason of why he's there falls apart. And it looks like this effort where Urban's trying to get him there to have him start and play games. So the truth of the matter is, I don't see that being how this plays out. I think they know they need someone behind Lawrence that has some starting experience. He's beloved in the locker room for these kind of quotes and different shenanigans. The kid works his tail off. I hope they don't try to trade him, and especially not if it's just all about a jersey number. Just so Tebow can have number 15.
Oh, that I didn't even think about that.
Oh gosh, if that happens, like that's when you know, like it was all for naught. Like what this was really about. And I'm still not so sure that we don't know that about the Tebow signing.
Look, I was watching it was a game from last year. I forget which game it was, but there was a game that was being replayed.
Week one, he was phenomenal. He was phenomenal week one.
Yeah, and you watch some of Minshew's games. dude, there's a spot for him in this league. Like, there's absolutely a spot for Gardner Minshew in the league. I thought he played, and let's call it what it is. He outplayed Nick Foles. After Nick Foles got that contract, Nick Foles got hurt, and Gardner Minshew was thrown into the starting lineup in that game, the opener. I think it was against the Chiefs.
It was against Kansas City.
And he was thrown in as a rookie, and the guy played well. And it was almost like they were looking for a reason to get Nick Foles back in, because you remember Minshew had that game in London where he didn't play all that well, and he threw the late pick, and all of a sudden Foles was put back in. But they ended up going back to Minshew later on because he was the best quarterback on the roster. So this idea that, well, you know, yeah, it's Gardner Minshew, and I think some people sort of scoff at it. Dude, he's had really good performances in the NFL.
No, he's capable. If he was in a better situation than what he was kind of birthed into in the NFL, you know, his career would probably be at a different point. But if you look at his rookie season stats and what he did at that time with that roster, it was pretty significant. I mean, you could almost make a case where if they were a team that was at a winning record, you might look at it more seriously as maybe a Rookie of the Year candidate. But because of their team record, because of how that all worked out, it wasn't gonna work that way. The truth of the matter is, and I got to call some games towards the end of that year, you know, that team needed his skill set because he could move around a little bit better, and he kind of provided a spark to them. You know, even though they struggled, he still, you know, provided more than Nick Foles did at that time. But, you know, now look, this is Trevor Lawrence's team. It's more about what they would have if he gets hurt. And it's not like Trevor Lawrence has been hurt before. They should think about keeping a guy like him with his experience and a guy that could come in with a hot hand that kind of has that kind of attitude. Like, this guy is willing to go without having a bowel movement for weeks because number two is not an option. You're telling me you don't want that guy on your team?
That's a great point.
He could join our show anytime. If he wants to come on, be a part of this, I would gladly accept a guy that's willing to forego one of your most basic, you know, human aspects of your life, okay?
Let me tell you something. Like, you can't go, three commercial breaks without, sitting down and reading.
I got a
digest.
Fast metabolism.
And speaking of,
after you ate all that ice cream, you know, you're having all sorts of issues. I mean, I don't want to, you know, peel back the curtains too much.
Yeah.
Again, not too much here, but you're having all sorts of issues in that department. So.
Yeah, let me tell you, I'm doing the show from the bathroom right now. I'm looking at the plunger. Yeah. Like, I'm staring now at a plunger.
I actually heard. And a little birdie told me that you wanted to make the declaration on live air to Scott Shapiro that you're not going to go number two until you get this show full time. That's what I heard.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. If we were planning on getting this show full time, this segment just pretty much ended. we will go ahead and move right along. It's Outkick the Coverage. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, Hour 3 next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.